Yeah, yeah, back in your mouth.
I'm glad you said that because I think you now are the worst intro we've ever had.
Yeah. What's up? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Podcast. It's your boy. This is Fresh and Fit Ohio. You hear me? You feel me? None of that craziness, man. None of that weird stuff. This your boy J.A., your boy Chad. What's up?
What's going on, man? This is... The energy is really throwing me off. I did not expect that to be what you came out the gate with.
Out the gate, bro. Because, you know, them Fresh and Fit fans are really weird.
Yeah,
Miami, you know, weird. They're really weird. So I'll be having to, like, let them know, like, bro, we not none of that. All right? None of that. Okay? We some good brothers that love women. Okay.
I think they might too. I would imagine they do.
You know what I'm saying? We love women, okay?
Not the women they have on the show. They love women.
Hey bro, I seen some very incriminating stuff.
Yeah.
From those guys lately. You know what I'm saying? I've been seeing some stuff, some videos, some footage of dudes cuddling and all type of stuff. So hey, watch your mouth when you talk about us. All right.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that situation. Do I wanna be?
Yeah. Yeah. So watch your mouth.
Hey, I do have a question. I know we've been sitting here for a minute. What's going on with these chains?
What's going on with these chains? Hey, bro, you know
this
what I'm saying?
This is different. It's a different
look.
James.
It's a different look. You know, I always, you know who inspires me fashion-wise?
I would love to know. Sometimes I really wonder. Go ahead.
I really want to dress like a 1990s like uncle or something like that.
Oh.
Like an uncle. Like, that's kind of like the vibe I try to go for. That's kind of my swag. I like that vibe. If you see me on a regular basis, day to day, you would very rarely know that my fashion influence is Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown from, like, Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry Madea movies. I love patterns. I love to coordinate different stuff.
I would agree with you there.
I just think, like, you know, I just like his swag. I like it. I like the 70s. If I could have been born in the time, I think the 70s was probably like would have been my era for fashion.
I would say you are a man of statement.
Yes.
You do have pieces that have something to say.
Yeah.
I don't always know what they're saying, but you have, you know, yeah.
But they're unique to me though. And you'll be like, yo, that's something James will wear.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Also, from week to week, I have no idea what you're going to show up in.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're a wild card. The wildest sense.
Hey.
I really don't know what you're going to... Like this jacket. I like the jacket.
You like it?
It's, like, again...
Thank you.
No idea. It's a bunny... It's a skeletal bunny with loafers.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand it, and that's okay. Beat her with the jacket. Don't beat her with the jacket.
It's the beater with the jacket.
Yeah, I'm a simple chain guy.
Yeah, I think I bought these chains. They're a little too long. Shout out to GLLD, but they're a little too long.
Who is that?
GLD.
GLDs?
Yeah, that's where I got them from.
Go. GLDs?
GLD.
Nuts? All right. Hey, so it's been a minute. It's been a minute since we've been on the show.
It's been too long.
Has it been long enough?
It's been too long. It's been too long, bro. We need it. Come on, man. We need to. 2024, we coming with it.
I need to address some animosity I have towards you.
Oh,
and I want to get it off my chest.
Get it off your chest, brother.
We were supposed to have a show. I reached out to you only to find out that you were far away at sea. Upon somebody's cruise ship, obviously not Gilligan's because you came back. And I got to say, I'm a little disappointed, first of all, that you didn't tell me that you were going. And second of all, there was no invite extended. So
why would I?
I'm going to ask you how it was. I don't really care, but someone out there listening might. So, you know, I mean.
Why would I invite you on a cruise?
We don't have to be anywhere near each other, bro. I needed some time away.
That's true.
Off land.
I love the cruise. I had a great time in the Bahamas. It was a great time.
Nice.
You know, I would say that everyone needs a getaway. You know what I'm saying? And I think a cruise is a really good experience. We were on a Carnival cruise. And so the Carnival cruise to me is for us by us. You know what I'm saying?
It's for us. It's a FUBU cruise.
It's a FUBU cruise. The Carnival cruise, the FUBU cruise. Yeah. We definitely had a good time. Like the DJ was black. Or black adjacent, I'm not sure, but he played nothing but hip hop and good music. Comedians on there were multicultural, and the jokes were hitting.
So how was the food?
The food was, you know, cruise ship food usually is banging. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think maybe only like one or two meals weren't the best because of our selections. But I would say like cruise ship definitely. It's a great time, great experience. And, like, I like the cruise because everything's already included. You don't have to, like, worry about nothing. Like, once you get there, you good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we was only in Nassau, Bahamas for, like, a day. But that was cool. That was enough, man. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
The water was there was no troubled waters. Everything was smooth. So we had a great time.
Did you get in the water? And I don't mean, like, the water that the ship has. I mean, like, the real water.
No, I did not get in the water in the Bahamas. My goal when I got to the Bahamas was to find me a good cigar, chill, smoke.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
Nice, okay.
I had a good time with that. And I ended up buying my baby some gifts and stuff.
Nice.
You know, so that's all we did. You
know, never have I ever been on a cruise.
Really?
Never.
Well, now I want you to go.
Well, apparently you didn't.
Well, I didn't. I never knew you was never on one before, bro.
Okay, I think I'm going to start a GoFundMe for a cruise.
It's not even that expensive, bro.
I don't care.
It's not even that expensive. I think you can get a cabin for like $700-800.
All inclusive.
All inclusive. All inclusive, $700-800. And then all you got to do from there is get there. Flight.
It's not bad.
Not bad. Yeah. So,
bro. It's not bad. All right, folks. You heard it. We're going to start this GoFundMe. James endorsed it.
Dog, I'd rather buy you a cabin than you start a GoFundMe for something like that.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
I got to say, I don't know how, if you get affected by the weather around this time of year, I find myself in these, like, dark ruts. I don't know if it's because it gets dark at 4:30.
It's the weather.
And it's cold, you know, today wasn't that bad, but I found myself in these ruts around this time of year, and especially with the holiday. I don't know how you feel about it, or if it affects you much.
So what that is, guys, this, some people deal with it on a severe level. I'm sorry. It's on a more severe level. It's called seasonal depression. And what happens is there's a lack of vitamin D. Lack of vitamin D. Sorry, you guys had to adjust this mic. Hold up. It's still a little heavy.
Hold on. Let's do it like this.
I got it. I had to turn
you
the bass.
Got it?
Yeah. Right. So what you have is a lack of vitamin D because we don't get that much sun in Ohio, right? So what happens is now it's affecting your hormones. Your hormones are affecting your moods affecting your depression, and it kind of happens. So you get kind of like in these little low ruts, or basically what they call seasonal depression. You know, the only way to really combat that is to take a vitamin D supplement. And you would notice, like, even like you work with kids in schools, right? You get to notice like kids are acting a little crazier. They're being a little more frantic. It's because they're malnourished. You know what I'm saying? So they're acting a little crazier because they lacking the vitamin D. So B12, vitamin C, like those are the supplements I would just encourage you to take like during this time. And that kind of help boost your mood, boost your morale, and help you feeling better. Ashwagandha is another one that's really good. You take that at night. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I'm gonna give that a go. You know, speaking of depressive states, I'm not sure if Draymond Green's going through one right now or what the hell is going on with him.
Draymond Green,
listen, this man, I'm gonna say this, and then I'll let you get into it. It may or may not be extreme. I'm so tired of him. I think he's done getting paid for basketball. I think he's done enough to. It's okay. If you put him at any other job in the world, he would have not had a job there by now. He would have had cases filed against him. He would have been on leave several times. He would have been done. And he's getting paid millions of dollars. I think he's outstayed his welcome in the NBA. That's okay. My personal take.
Okay. So I hear you. And I'm not quite ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
He's not a baby.
He's definitely not.
But he's not a baby.
But you understand what I'm saying. But so I would say this. Draymond Green is a victim of his own success. So his success was him being an enforcer, him being a defensive guy. That has since kind of like really became his role, and that's kind of like him as a player, and that's what he kind of like reduced himself to. He kind of like made himself small to fit on that team, right? Because before, I don't know if you remember, but Draymond Green could shoot pretty well. He was getting pretty good buckets. He was pretty good offensively. He played. He's also a playmaker. So, like, he's kind of like a point forward. He can do things like that, like, with the offense. So that's kind of, like, was his role before. But he's kind of, like, reduced himself to accommodate other players. And so because of that, he's leaned more into this enforcer role. This enforcer role is cool when y'all winning. See, the problem is that the Golden State Warriors are losing now. So because they're losing, they're not winning as many games. It's magnified his behavior, his problems. He's going crazier because they're losing, the frustration of losing. And also, no one has ever checked him. Like, the first time when he punched Jordan Poole in practice or whatever, I think people don't like Jordan Poole. I think the Warriors didn't like him.
I don't think people like... I think there's a few players on the team that are very polarizing. But Draymond's been doing this when they were successful. He did it with LeBron.
So I'm saying. Yeah. So therefore, when he was successful, that's what has birthed this Draymond character that he is right now. But also I'm saying is, like, I don't think a lot of Warriors really mess with Jordan Poole. And I say that because there was no really ramifications for what he did. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was minimal ramifications for him. Bro, you swinging on a teammate like that, bro, like... And left him like damn near unconscious.
I don't remember if they had sent him out or what happened exactly. I think for me, it's not that now it's an issue. It's that it's piled up and it's more frequent now.
It's more frequent
and it's more obvious. So like
way more egregious
when he had the guy in a chokehold.
He stepped on somebody's chest.
I think there were instances where some people. Gave him the benefit of the doubt, like maybe it was just a reaction to whatever or a contact. But then, even this most recent one,
when he swung, acting like he never had to do it.
And said, "This is what he said." He said, "I'm not a flopper. First of all, the hell you are.
You're a liar.
You're a liar, and
you flop all the time, and you're ugly
as hell." Sorry, it's. He's petty. I had to respond with a little bit of pettiness.
Is he ugly?
Ugly as hell. He's top 10 ugliest players in the NBA.
In the NBA right now.
Not all time. There's some.
There's some monsters out there.
There's some extraterrestrial looking NBA players. Still walking this earth.
No comment, man. But it is some funny looking dudes out there. But you know what? Hey, they making millions, so they get this.
Look, I'm not saying anything about their pockets.
But they making millions, bro.
There's some handsome, non-money making people out there.
It is. And there's some money making brothers that look like extraterrestrials.
Look like someone smacked their face with a bag of quarters. Sock of sand. It's not good for the game of basketball.
So what's about to happen is he's about to get suspended indefinitely.
He is already.
He's suspended indefinitely. Yeah. So what that means is a minimum, basically, in my mind, a minimum of 10 games. But during the course of that suspension, he's going to have to, like, sign up for, like, anger management.
I don't care about that.
I'm just telling you, mental health program or something. Yeah. It's going to have to happen for him. He's going to be on a very short leash. So the next time something like that happens, he possibly might miss the rest of the season. He might get suspended from the NBA. And definitely it could be a list of things that could happen. But I would just tell you, like, this is the plan moving forward for him. And I think that needs to be a plan for a lot of us when we get in certain situations, right? So, like, sometimes, like, when life hits you hard or you're struggling with stuff, because you talked about how you might be feeling some type of way and it could affect you in school. It could affect how you dealing with work and relationships, yeah. Right? Sometimes you need to take a step back, okay? Take a step back and go get some help. Me personally, I know I'm a victim of that myself. Like, I don't get help. I seek gratification versus help. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times. So, like, that could be alcohol, that could be women, that could be different things, versus, hey, let me express what's on my mind, let me get to the root of my problem, let me figure out what's going on with me, and then that way I can address the situation better. I'll probably sabotage with so many relationships by not expressing what was wrong, by just letting something that was bothering me fester. And then instead of me attacking or addressing the situation, I would seek gratification. What is that? Cheating. What is that? Messing around. What is that? Not being loyal to your partner. You know what I'm saying? So like, that is the thing. Like, I think that like sports and people, sports are just a outward or physical manifestation of real life problems. It's times in your life where you feel like fighting everybody, you fighting everything. So we've all had our Draymond Green season, you know what I'm saying? And during that time, what's the problem? Sit down somewhere, man. Go get help. Because anger is a secondary emotion. What is hurting you?
I 100% agree. The part where I have an issue with is I think we forget that getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport is a privilege. Would you agree?
It is a privilege. I definitely agree with that.
For example, if tomorrow you were at your job and for the 15th time you swung on somebody and your boss came up to you and said, James, look, man, you need some help, man. And you're like, you're right. Would it be unfair to assume that you're probably not going to have that job anymore, though?
Depends on the job and depends on the thing. So, right. So, like, just say, all right, there are certain HR things that are put in place. Just say you have alcohol or substance abuse problem or something like that. Right. And then you go to your job and you're like, and you're late. Right. Now, if you're late, usually that's a fireable offense. But if you're late due to your substance abuse problem, then they can't fire you for that. Now we have to look into getting you help, getting you treatment. And then if you bounce back from that and you still come in late and you're not doing your job, then we can let you go.
But that stuff happens, though, yeah. Often.
Yeah, but I'm saying that that's not legally, like, right. Or is it ethical? So, like, just so say
you
I'm having
can't
a...
fire. Hold on. I want to make sure I understand this. You can't fire someone if their drinking problem affects their work.
In some cases, man, some instances you can't, like, because
what are these jobs?
No, I mean, I've seen, man, you know what you need to do? Look at your HR handbook. Look at some of your handbooks and look at some of the writing and stuff. The problem is we get these handbooks, we get these jobs, we just sign it because we don't feel like reading it, right? Facts. You haven't read it. You don't know.
Well, we did go through ours.
Okay.
I didn't see anything about drinking.
Okay. I'm telling you, man, it being a lot of HR literature, man, about certain things that are not fireable, but they're correctable offenses. So like with that being said, just say I'm at work, I'm swinging on people or whatever. Right. If I'm putting people in danger, then my job could easily be like, OK, you're fired. Or my job could suspend me without pay, just like the NBA is doing with Draymond, suspend me without pay. Say, hey, you need to get help. And during this time while you're getting help. While you're getting help, if you meet these certain benchmarks and you're able to, you know, successfully complete these tasks, then you'll be able to come back to your job. But if not, then you won't be able to come back. And I think that's what's about to happen with Draymond. I think that needs to happen. That happens with a lot of people, man. Like I have so much more grace for people than I used to have. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm humble. Well, first of all, I'm humble by life. Life humbles you. You know what I'm saying?
Very much so.
It humbles you.
Yeah.
And also, like, the opportunity, like, you just kind of see things. I look at things and try to figure out, like, to understand them a little bit different. I think like being a father and also working in with being a trainer and also working with people who have mental health issues has made me more patient, has given me more, I would say, of understanding with people.
I hear you, but I think the same thing with your kids, though. If you were to go home and get into continuously get into a situation where you were being harmful to your kids, they're going to take your kids from you.
For a period of time. Okay. For a period of time.
Okay, you're absolutely right.
For a period of time. But if I can show that I can redeem myself and I can do the work to make myself a better person, then I will get my kids back. And it's the same thing with Draymond. He's showing that he understands that he's a basketball player and it's a privilege and he's able to play the game. Does he need to get humbled? I think the problem is no one's ever punched him back in the mouth.
I think it's going to see that. And that's kind of where I was wanted to get to also. You're creating an unsafe situation in the league because it's going to happen where someone's going to be like, nah, bro, that's not happening, and respond. And think about Jokic, with him and his brother and the Markeith and Marcus Morrison.
Yeah.
When they were beefing off the court and blah, 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 like one more step and that gets out of hand. And now it's like, okay, how does the NBA contain that? I personally think that, yes, there are situations where you put yourself in danger, you put yourself in harm's way, and that needs to be dealt with a certain way and with a certain grace. But when it's putting other people, when it's directly affecting other people, I think you need to consider the greater good too. So I'll be curious to see. At the end of the day, Draymond Green is a human being. He's a man. He's got a family. He's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. I understand and respect that. And I ultimately hope for the very best for him outside of sports and in sports, but especially outside of sports. But I hate to see instances where guys are doing what they're doing and it's like, okay, well, someone's got to be made an example out of for the greater good. So I'll be interested to see how this plays out. Hopefully he can get the help he needs. Hopefully it'll help him get past whatever anger he's dealing with. Because clearly he'd be blanking out.
He blacks out.
And I don't want to guard him. I don't, ever.
I mean, but he kind of a self-check anyway. But anyway, he's kind of a self-check. He's kind of a self-check anyway. But with that being said, me as a trainer, part of everything I do is so mental, right? It's so mental. And we were talking about this a little bit off camera. It's like sometimes you get frustrated with clients, you get frustrated with people because it's like you got to basically hold their hand. You got to do stuff for them. You got to do things that you don't really want to do with them. But you have to, because if those people were self-motivated or intrinsically motivated, then there probably would be no cause or purpose for you to have your job. So as we're approaching the new year, right, it's so many people that's about to make these New Year's resolutions and be like, oh, I'm about to get fit. This is the time. So I'm about to change. And I would just encourage anyone that's about to make that statement to say this next year, I'm going to do this. I would tell you, get a head start in the competition. Start today. Don't wait till January 1. Don't wait till that Monday, the first Monday in January or the first Tuesday at 12 o'clock. I'm going to start. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do that. Like, and let me tell you why you don't want to do that. One, you're going to freaking binge and come back fatter than you are right now, or more out of shape or less muscular or whatever, because you're going to give yourself that time to be like, oh, well, I know I'm starting in January, so let me go ahead and go ham until the first of the year, right? Don't do that. So, like, I would encourage you, you know what I'm saying, tap in. Start right now. Start going hard, because this is the time for you to become the best version of you and to really turn up, you know what I'm saying? So, like, don't wait. Like, there's no point in waiting. Like, start right now.
How do you feel about New Year's resolutions just in general?
Well, they've not been shown to really work. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think they're good. I think they're cool starting points. But the reality is that just like we talked about with Draymond, it has to be a behavior change. It has to be a mental change. It has to be a change. It has to be an epiphany, something that happens to you and that you really like change your lifestyle. I tell people all the time, like, and it's not even like a joke, or I'm not trying to be mean or anything. Like, once you start on this journey, this fitness journey or this health journey or this positive person journey, you're going to have to change your friends, change your habits. It's so many things are going to have to change with you, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because if you're on the right track and you're like, yo, I'm about to start working out, and if your friends say any negative or any discrediting thing towards you, drop them. If they try to encourage you to go do something corny, like, oh, let's go out to eat, let's go have drinks, let's go this, let's go that, it's easy to be like, no, bro, like, don't do that. And so, and if those friends are continuously to do that, you got to cut those people off, man. And it's that simple. It's that simple. And change your habits. Like, you like to spend money on alcohol and stuff like that. Well, now you got to spend money on supplements, protein, stuff like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? To better yourself. So, like, it's got to be a shift. And that shift has to happen, like, immediately. You know what I'm saying? Has to happen immediately. And that shift could be seem hurtful to some people, because you don't leave some people behind. But at the end of the day, it's about you becoming the best you. So cut people off. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I think when it happens organically and when it happens as a byproduct of you making those decisions to enhance certain parts of your life for yourself, I think it can produce a healthier result. I say that because I feel like sometimes it's possible to have an animosity towards people. And this isn't just health. This is like
an animosity towards board. People, like how the person that's so saying they want to change, or the person.
Well, on both sides. But okay. So, I mean, as an example, if you have a friends and you find yourself changing certain parts of your life, if you stay committed to those things and they aren't, it's going to just naturally draw you guys apart. Naturally.
Correct.
If you focus on those things, if you're focusing on, I need to cut these people off, I think it could create an animosity. Like, well, like you're attaching, you're making, it can make it like a personal thing. Like, well, they don't support me.
I get what you're saying.
Instead of, because you could be the person that helps change that. You could be, you know, and I think we both have experienced this from people on both sides, where someone's, I mean, a good friend of ours, Michael Blue. I've seen his fitness journey as a trainer over the years, and I've seen people come and go. But the things that he did to enhance his own personal situation brought people along. That's how I met you. I met you through him. You know, I remember the first time he took me to a CrossFit gym. He had to trick me because he probably knew I wasn't gonna go. And when I went, I hated it. I did miserable. It was like you said, it was extremely humbling. I hated it. And I'm like, I'm never doing this ever again. Fast forward like a year later, and I'm doing it 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
For 2 or 3 years. So
fast forward, you're doing competitions.
and fortunate to do well in some competitions. So yeah, and I think it could have turned out differently had his motivation been different. Had it been like
so when I say cut people off, I mean it like the latter. I mean like what you're saying. I don't mean like just be like, oh, I can't mess with you. I mean focus on the goal at hand. Focus on you achieving certain goals. And if people want to ride and want to come along for the ride, bring them along with you. But if people are trying to bring you down or bring you back to where you're from, then those are the people I'm saying you really have to like distance yourself from.
Yeah, I get
that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like anyone, like you just be harsh or cold towards anyone, like, you know what I'm saying, anything like that. But when you're on that path to like success and you're trying to reach your goals, you might have to lose some people, you know what I'm saying? I hate that, but that's just part of it.
Yeah. I can get with that.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing. And that's big in any relationship, right? Just say like
work.
You know what I'm saying? Like you want to be like, I want to go to the next level. I want to become a manager. I want to become a boss, stuff like that. You're going to have some coworkers and be like, man, that's stupid. That's this, that's that. Well, that's not their vision. That's not their plan.
Yeah.
But that's yours. So you can't be hanging with them doing the same stuff that they're doing that's counterproductive, like coming late, taking extra long breaks, doing this, doing that. No, you want to be a manager one day. So you want to be on top of your game and take care of your stuff. So you got to do what you got to do. Even in relationships with like, With women, you know what I'm saying? Like the opposite sex or same, whatever you into, same sex, I don't know. But
you know what I'm into, bro.
I ain't talking about you personally. I'm talking about people that's listening. I'm talking about you personally. I know what you into. But I'm talking about like, so in your romantic relationships, like, you know, I'm not saying leave your partner. I'm saying like lead your partner. Okay, so you get the opportunity and you're onto something, right? Just say you're on this health journey, you're on this fit journey. If you love that person, you're going to bring them along. Also, if you love that person, you're going to support them. One of the most hurtful things I ever experienced was my mother. The reason I became a trainer is because of my mother. Okay, I broke my foot playing arena football. I had to come back home and I was training to go back to camp. So when I'm trying to get into a Browns football camp. So when I'm training, I had to have my mom to take me up to the gym. So my mom used to take me to the gym. And when she took me to the gym, she would wait in the car, you know. So eventually she started coming in the gym. While she was coming in the gym, she ended up losing like 70 pounds, right? Changed her mind, got very hyped. Like as the weight came off, her confidence came on. Put it like that, right? And I remember the most hurtful thing I heard my dad say to her was like, you losing weight, but you still got that turkey neck. Mm. Right? So like that right there, like that type of stuff right there, that type of vitriol, that type of negative thing, like that type of person, you do not need that type of person around. Needs to say, my mother eventually did leave my dad, and I'm happy that she did, because he was abusive verbally and physically, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I would tell anybody, like, if your partner or person becomes abusive or that negative to you, then you do need to leave them alone. But if they're supportive of you and they just can't quite get it, then they need you to kind of show them the way, you know what I'm saying? But but it's very important as a partner that if you're going to spend your life with someone, you want to be healthy, right? You want to be the healthiest version of you so you can experience them and enjoy them. Look, I have kids now. So I'm like, yo, I got to be healthy. I got two daughters and one son, man. I got to make sure that I'm around for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, one, I got to make sure I'm strong because my son never want to test me. You know what I'm saying? Put him in the headlock. Hey, like baby boy. Like Draymond Green did Rudy Gobert.
Oh. Bad example, but I get what you're saying. Baby boy is a better one.
Be like baby boy. Do that. And then for my daughters, I want them to see a strong man and see how a man takes care of a woman. How like, you know what I'm saying? Like daddy's around and you're good. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that I'm able to do stuff with them. Like me, I still pick my daughters up. I body slam them and play with them and stuff like that too. Like they love to wrestle and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, I got some very, you know, my daughters are rough. They're very rough.
Yeah.
They're very rough. So like so they like stuff like that. So like, I want to make sure that I'm always around. So, and I said to say, like, if you love somebody, get in shape. Prove that you love them by being the best version of you. And that could be not just physically, financially, mentally, spiritually, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't think, I know that you're not going to give someone the best you if you aren't, first of all, it might sound simple, but if you don't know who you are.
Mm.
And I think part of knowing who you are is getting to the point of understanding not just your purpose, but where some of your trigger points are, or your downfalls, or, you know, the things that push you, that drive you, you know. You would repost something today on Instagram that really it stuck with me. I think a lot of people, especially guys, but people just in general, I think can relate to this. But I think we all have a desire to be productive, to be wanted, to be needed, to have a purpose. And especially when you're in a relationship, I think it's important to reinforce that your partner, the person that you're trying to build with, has a purpose, they have a point in your life. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you can do something on your own, great. If you can do something with somebody else and not sacrifice the integrity of whatever that thing might be, whether you're trying to build something or grow something or learn something, do it. I think relationships have lost some of its power and importance in our society. I think that at times we get this mentality that, you know, we need to be successful, we need to get ours, we need to do this, do that, whatever. But I think it's important to realize that we're created to be in community and in relationship with people. And that doesn't just mean marriage. That's not just marriage. It's about, you know, it can look like, you know, partnership in business. It could be building a house together. It could be, I don't know, leading a country. It could be leading a community group. Whatever. I don't even know. I'm just spewing off random things. But I hope it's making sense. Like, it's one thing to build something on your own. It's another thing when you can build something with someone and realize that what you're doing not just because of you, but because of what you've, the people around you.
That is the key to a lot of things, right? So, like, I hate to always use sports, but I play football, you ran track, you know how it works. It's teamwork makes the dream work, right? So because of that, like, the most successful teams I've been on, everybody played their role. And I think not everybody wanted to be a star. But the point of it, as something I heard that was cold, be a star in your role. What that means is if you are an offensive lineman, bro, be the best offensive lineman you can be. Do all the blocking. Do all the protecting of the quarterback you got to do. You not scoring no touchdown, okay? It is what it is.
Yeah.
But take pride in the fact that your blocking, what you did, helped that teammate cross that end zone and get that touchdown or get that yard or get whatever. So, like, be a star in your role. As a man, there's certain things that in relationship that I want to do, that I desire to do. Like, I want to take out the trash. I want to make sure your car is good. I want to make sure your oil change. I want to make sure your gutters and stuff clean. I just want to make sure that, like, I'm doing manly stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to do manly stuff. So, like, I think the post you're referring to, I think the post is like, says like, don't worry about it, I'll do it, right? So sometimes women get frustrated with us because dudes, we do kind of do things on our own time, but you gotta let that man do that, you know what I'm saying? Like, because trust me, if it doesn't get done, nobody's gonna be more frustrated than he is. Mm-hmm. You think you're frustrated, he's frustrated he didn't get it done, you know what I'm saying? So that's something you need to think about. I think everybody, like you said, has a purpose and everybody has a role. I don't like to cook. I hate to cook, bro. Like, if I gotta cook, man, I'm salty. You know what I'm saying? But I will cook if I need to cook. But my partner, baby girl, if you cooking for me, you got me. Because that means everything to me. And I'll tell you why. I'm one of those people who has a very accountable body. If I don't eat right, I don't look right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I don't get enough sleep, if I don't get enough water, if I don't do the thing. Like, I don't have one of those people. I'm not one of those fitness people who just was naturally skinny, who naturally fit, and then just like, oh, I'm a trainer. Nah, bro, I got to really work for mine. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and I'm talking about all phases of my life. So, like, I would tell anybody, bro, like, if you can cook for me, you doing the Lord's work. You know what I'm saying? You doing the Lord's work right there. You putting me together because I need it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that. So, I would just say, like, everybody has a role. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially as men, we want to feel, and as a man, you want to feel like you matter, man. Like I think, like, you want to feel like you matter in, because the world will kind of crush you and tell you that you don't really matter. You know what I'm saying? But you need to feel like you matter in your household.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that, whatever purpose that you might have, anyone can do it. Every guy can't do what every guy can do. So how can you expect every person of any to do? You don't understand what I'm saying without saying it? Like, so, yeah. We need each other. If you want to do it on your own, go for it.
More you want to kill them spiders? You want to open up them cans, them jars? Mm. You want to get up on them roofs and take and clean gutters?
Yeah.
You want to do that? You want to go get your oil changed? You check engine light on all the time.
Yeah.
You want to shovel snow?
Mm. Cut the grass.
You want to cut? Girl, you don't want to do none of that. Come on, man.
And we don't want, I don't want them to do it.
I don't want you doing that.
I want to do it for you.
I want to do that.
I want to do it for you.
Come on, baby. What you talking about?
It's not even a matter of you can't do it. I want you to do it. Yeah, you can do it. But why? You don't have to.
The one part that I enjoyed about my marriage the most was when my wife did not have to work. She worked when she wanted to. She worked PRN. I took care of all the bills. And reason why, that's all I ever wanted to do. All I ever wanted to do is put myself in a position where I can make enough money so my wife didn't have to pay no bills. And during that time of our relationship, I was the happiest. And then we were the happiest. And it's like, but when times got difficult and things like that, then that's kind of like where stuff get crossed. Because, like, where the roles get messed up, things like that can happen, especially like you know, the divorce rate is high, 50%. What's some of the leading contributors? Financial and infidelity. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg, but a lot of times, like, you know, things happen. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So I would tell you, like, man, take care. You gotta feel your purpose as a man and as a woman and let that just be your purpose, man, and let that rock.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good word. I think that might be a good word to leave off on.
Yes. Okay, so I've been working on something called the Bounce Back Better Project that I want to launch just for men.
Bounce Back Better Project.
And so we're going to what I want to do is I want to be able to. So we talked about this purpose, passion, your pack, you know what I'm saying? Your pack and your plan. Mm-hmm. I think you need to find those things. Once you define those things, then as a man, you can really develop and grow. You know what I'm saying? So, and with that being said, guys, you know what I'm saying? Find your purpose, find your pack, fuel it with your passion, you know what I'm saying? And figure out your plan, and let's get this money. We out? You gonna tell people bye?
You
ain't gonna say
nothing? Oh, man, you ruined it. That was the perfect ending. That was like the last. So let me tell you. I recently watched the last episode of a No Names Please very popular TV show of our culture.
Okay.
The last episode was such a letdown.
Did you see that movie?
You had a good finish and then you left it to me.
Okay, but did you all right. Did you see that movie Leave the World Behind?
I did last
Sunday. That's a great movie. That's a great movie.
What's so funny is that I'm gonna leave a cliffhanger. Only if you've seen the movie will you know what show I'm talking about. The show I'm referring to
was in the movie
is the song from the movie. Wow. At the end. Isn't that ironic?
That is very ironic.
Yeah, ironic. I like that movie. And with that,
we out.
My dad faced.